So I have with me on the podcast today, Dylan, how do you say your last name? Schnees?
Yeah, that'd be Schneezy.
Hey, Schneezy. Yep. All right. So why don't you tell us who is Dylan? And, you know, it's an interesting topic that we're talking about today, natural birth from the lens of a dad. So tell us, who is Dylan and how did you come to be into the natural birth thing? Like, what brings you to this topic?
Yeah. So once again, my name is Dylan Schneezy. My wife and I run a business called Steady Presence, and that's our family business that encompasses her birth work, our Airbnb rooms that we have available. And then going forward, we're going to be offering courses like self-reliance style courses.
Okay.
And baby moon retreats, at little expositions to learn about local providers for birth, and then just some education to go with that.
Gotcha. So what brought you into the birth space? Like, how did you come to be someone who is providing those services, helping people with natural births?
Yeah. So it really all started with the birth of my first son. So to kind of go into some of the details, we were planning on having a home birth, and we went to a doctor's appointment, and the ultrasound techs discovered some cysts on my wife's ovaries. Oh. And so that changed our picture from having a home birth to going to the hospital.
Gotcha.
And so during that process, especially the birth process itself, we were, you know, not given the risks and benefits of various interventions that happened during the process. And the whole experience kind of left us disempowered and wondering if the process could go better. You know, if we knew more information. And so, you know, the purpose of our business is to help families, you know, navigate the waters of birth and to have an empowered birth experience.
Gotcha.
I was just talking with my wife, you know, we're not trying to suggest that everyone have a home birth or have an unassisted birth or have a birth out in a field of daisies, but to have the birth experience that you choose for yourself, and that you have all the knowledge to make the right choice for your family.
Yeah, that makes sense. So going back to, you talked about the birth of your first son, planning to have a home birth, but being forced to go to a hospital, go that the traditional medical route that most people go through. Give us a little background on kind of what was into the typical birth in a hospital and all of that, and how that pushed you to helping other people, you know, knowing what all goes into a birth so they can make an informed decision.
Yeah. So I guess I was under the understanding that, you know, when we watch, I guess, Disney movies or just through pop culture, we kind of understand birth as something that happens. It's a process. And then afterwards you have a baby. Mm. And there's so much more that goes into it. I mean, one of the biggest things for me during the process was how the various points of the process where I couldn't help my wife because I didn't have the knowledge as a man to assist her throughout the process. And so that's what we want to teach dads so that they know what to expect.
Gotcha.
And when choices come up that need to be made, we can be making the correct choices for our family by understanding what risks and benefits are associated with the choice that you're making.
Yeah, that makes sense. How did you imagine before the birth of your first son? How did you imagine, you know, you talked about the Disney birth that we see in movies is, you know, you go to the hospital, a little bit of pain, whatever. Then there's a baby at the end.
Yeah.
Kind of what did you imagine, you know, outside of that, that birth would be like? Was there, yeah, walk us through that a little bit. And then, yeah, go into that a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're talking about, you have your baby and now you go home, and what is that experience like?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you have a baby, what I've noticed is, you know, people just think, okay, they need space, they need time to have that after baby experience. And what we went through is an understanding that we don't have, you know, a village of people around us that can support in the ways that we need. We had our grandparents, which was amazing to have locally, but, you know, to have, let's say, a lactation consultant that you know and are starting to work with right after baby's born, or a chiropractor, a family physician that you can trust. We kind of built that village after we had our first, and it wasn't until about 6 months afterwards.
Gotcha.
That at least we met our lactation consultant, and she did so much more than just consult on the lactation process. She was checking in on my wife for signs of depression, you know, what to eat during lactation. Just check it there. When you build your village, the people in your village, they can help with, you know, their specialty, but they can also go more broadly and just, you know, how are you doing? These are some tips that have worked well for us. Mm-hmm. That's great to have.
So is that what Steady Presence came out of? Was the trying to help other people build that village ahead of time to have that support? Or kind of go into that, or describe your process there, how you actually help people find that support that can be there for them in their times of need or during that birth process.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the events that we have coming up is a baby moon retreat and expo. So during that process and that event, we are inviting out local practitioners, lactation consultants, chiropractors, et cetera, to come out and have a booth, and people expecting families can meet various providers and know [S2] Gotcha. [S1] Who their team is after the birth of their child.
Okay. So what's a baby moon event? I have to ask that.
Yeah. Okay. So, so honeymoon, we all know what a honeymoon is,
right? Okay.
A baby moon is some people take trips, prior to, their new one coming into the world.
Gotcha.
So what we're going to offer is, during the morning of the event is going to be the expo, where you get to go around and meet providers. And in the afternoon is going to be an educational session where some of the practitioners get up and talk about various topics. And then what we're planning on is after that event, anybody that wants to stay in our Airbnb rooms, and we're also going to have glamping tents set up by then.
Gotcha.
They can stick around, and we'll have, let's say, a fire or some kind of activity. And then the next morning, we'll, you know, make a big breakfast. I have a rocket stove that we can cook outside. And after breakfast, then have some time for journaling and walking around our homestead. And mm-hmm. Kind of taking in, you know, nature, and just navigating the birth world and ask any questions that they have during that entire time.
Gotcha. That sounds cool. You had mentioned baby moon a couple times, and I never connected that to the honeymoon, so I was real intrigued. But that makes sense. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like maybe it's more of a local event, or is it also? I mean, do you have a digital or a kind of an outreach where people that aren't local to you can also participate?
Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of a local event, but we can. I mean, anybody in the Midwest can attend, and what we're kind of trying to do is, you know, be a hub, kind of like, let's say, Living Free in Tennessee, where, you know, anybody that's interested in the homesteading space and the freedom space, they go to Nicole's events right. to learn about that. And so we're kind of trying to do that, but in the Midwest. And so with like the self-reliance courses that we're offering, our main goal with that is to bring people that otherwise wouldn't go to the South. That seems to be where a lot of the like freedom festivals are happening.
Right.
Let's do that in the Midwest. So you don't have to travel as far, and we all need to start meeting each other up here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. So you've got two boys, I think Teddy and Vinny.
That's right.
How old are they?
They're 5 and 3 right now.
Okay, cool. Those are good ages.
Yeah.
Talk about their birth and kind of how that went. You mentioned the birth of your first son. Did the birth of your second son go any better, or what was that like for you?
Yeah. So, the birth of Vinny was much more empowered, and that's what we wanted to, how to describe their two births. It's not a case study in hospital versus home birth. It's a study into a disempowered birth from an empowered birth. So
meaning,
that in the birth of Ted, we didn't have a lot of knowledge with us to really understand the process.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, yeah, to go in a little more detail with Ted, when my wife's water broke for, you know, the couple days before Ted was born, we went right to the hospital because that's what we thought that you should do. We didn't understand that you could labor at home and wait for things to progress and then right. go to the hospital.
Huh.
I think that was always something that we knew from like pop culture. But that's what we did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause so, all the movies there, the water breaks and then they go to the hospital.
Yes. Yes.
And then it happens. And it often doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. And so once we got to the hospital, she was progressing, you know, relatively slowly. And so the doctor came in and said, why don't we give you a little vitamin P? And there was no explanation of what it was. There was no discussion of the risks and benefits. And so the doctor just gave her Pitocin. And so for anybody that doesn't know what that is, Pitocin is a synthetic chemical that is analogous to what your body produces to start contractions.
Mm. And they call it vitamin P to make it sound more palatable to
probably
yeah, like not an actual vitamin, folks.
Yeah. 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 From like a marketing standpoint.
Right.
But from there, then her contractions were stronger, longer, and closer together. And so that just leads to what we call a cascade of intervention where, Now the body is reacting in a way that isn't natural. And so from there, the baby can have like heart deceleration. There can be blood pressure issues.
Wow.
Increased chances of uterine rupture. And so any time that an outside influence induces labor, that can start this cascade of intervention where one intervention leads to another, and this can lead to C-sections or other things that that could have been prevented if that cascade hadn't been started.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah, it sounds almost, I mean, it's pretty well like a typical hospital or medical experience where it seems like everything needs to get treated with a pill or, some kind of a treatment that doesn't actually treat the cause, but the symptoms. And so that just leads to more things. And just like you said, creates a cascade of effects leading to more interventions needed, which that's not needed in most cases. And especially at birth time, putting even more stress on the mom and the baby sounds like an awful ordeal.
That's right. Yeah.
In all of that, what is a dad's role helping out in the birth? I mean, does a dad even have a role? Like, what's he supposed to do during that time?
Yeah. So, what I did during that process was, of course, providing emotional support for mom, but also physical support. So one of the things that that really helps is like doing hip squeezes. It really takes a lot of the pressure and the pain away. But that's physically taxing. I'm an athletic person. During that entire process, even for me, it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know a lot of dads, new dads, go into this process not knowing exactly their place, and that can be difficult. And so, yeah, just being there emotionally and physically definitely helps. And then once baby is born, there's quite a bit that dads can do that can help and, you know, make them feel important in that new dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll go into that in a second, but I want to go back to, we went into the birth of your first son and how you didn't know what to expect. You felt disempowered. Contrast that to your second son and how that experience was different for both you, your wife, and Vinny.
Yeah. So with Vinny, we hired a doula and a midwife for his birth. And this was really helpful because the doula was able to provide a lot of resources that we could, you know, research during pregnancy. So we, you know, read quite a few books that were helpful, and the books led us to think or to believe that birth is a natural physiological process that happens, and the body knows how to deal with it. Versus in the hospital, it's more or less seen as something to treat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, another important thing that we did for Vinny's birth is we made sure that she ate really good. And what I mean by that is we needed to alter the foods, the actual foods that she was eating. So we learned more about high fat diets and actually high salt diets.
Okay.
They tend to, or the medical profession tends to discourage salt consumption, especially if there's high blood pressure. Right. But it's actually true. It's the opposite. You want to have a good amount of salt. And the kind of the analogy that I like to give is if you have a pregnant animal on the homestead, it's encouraged to give them a unlimited supply of salt in the form of like a salt brick.
Right. Salt, okay. Salt. Yeah. Makes sense.
So it's, we're mammals. It's the same, principle.
Same deal. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Yeah. And then, during the birth process, we labored at home. I mean, we had him at home. So of course we labored at home, but, we just let that process, undergo itself. And during the last few hours, I was giving physical support, to my wife, but also the doula was giving physical support so that I could be behind Ash, giving, hugging her and, being with her, during that time, which was very, I look back on that and it's very nice to have that. Because without a doula, you're taking on the brunt of the physical support, and the emotional support. Mm-hmm. But you're also probably getting your wife, food, drink, talking to medical professionals, talking with family, like, no, stay out, we're good. They can help with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can definitely see how having at least an extra person around, someone who knows what's going on would be, just kind of a boost to both of you. For the physical and the emotional, doing the little things, because that's a lot on one person, especially knowing how some of those labors can really stretch out for a while.
Yeah, definitely.
What advice? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh yeah. So once Vinny was here, then the atmosphere at being home was, we look back on that and the way that Vinny came into this world and the way that Ted came into this world it kind of sticks with their personalities. Hmm. Vinny's a little more laid back and easygoing. And, my oldest, if he likes to be by people. And that was, I think kind of, related to us having to leave him with caretakers, the couple weeks after he was born, because my wife had some complications after birth. Mm-hmm. So how a baby comes into this world has a big effect on their personalities and their growth and development later on.
Yeah, that's interesting. I never would have thought it would have an effect on their personality. I can see how it could affect maybe some of their health, some of their growth, some of those things because of maybe whatever treatments or things go on at a hospital versus a home birth. I never would have thought that may affect the personality though. That's interesting that you bring that up.
Yeah. Cause they have a personality when they're born.
Oh yeah.
And something about that process, is imparted on them.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Yeah,
that's cool. What advice would you give to dads who are going through that for the first time so that they feel like they have a purpose, not only as the baby's being born, but in the first couple of years when the baby, and they need mom, mom's just provides that care and support and, food for them that dads can't do. How can dads have a purpose in the baby's life during those first few years?
Yeah. So this is something that we notice with friends. We have kids that are similar ages and they kind of, after the birth, they're kind of lost. They don't know how to support. And that kind of takes a toll on the family dynamic. But what I can say is, always making sure that mom has something to eat, something to drink, and to kind of be on call when, after the baby's done nursing, to be by her side and take the baby, so that, the mom can have some time for herself, because nursing can be isolating at times.
Right.
And so for her to go and recharge and find her purpose outside of being a mom That's very important. Mm-hmm. And then when they were born, I was making sure that I was staying on top of, let's say, dishes, laundry, anything that can give her rest.
Yeah.
Because they say that you, a mom after birth, I forgot how specifically it goes, but they should stay in their bed for, 7 days after a kid is born. They should stay at their house for the first couple weeks. And then after a month, they can leave their house. And I'm not saying that to I'm seeing that as that's what they recommend for the rest that you
need. Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's very taxing. I'm sure. I mean, I haven't gone through that myself, so I wouldn't know, but yeah, I'm sure you having seen that, been there, that involved in it, you probably know better than a lot of dads how taxing that is.
Yeah, it's very taxing. And then the one other thing I would say is to learn how to wear babies. So if you've ever been at the airport and you see babies strapped to their dad's chest, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
Learning the different ways that you can hold a baby, on your front or on your back, and you can even practice with someone else's baby. We're gonna have that at the Baby Moon event.
Okay.
Someone's gonna volunteer their baby, and Ash is gonna have different products that she's gonna wear the baby and show how different ways that you can do that.
Gotcha. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that I'm sure that creates a bond or a connection between the baby and parent as well.
That's right. So yeah, I mean that's one other way that a dad can find purpose is to bond with his new baby.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned doulas or a midwife earlier. Is that something that is necessary, or why should dads, want a doula around?
Yeah. We kind of think of doulas as an insurance policy on the birth experience that you want. If you didn't have a doula, the likelihood that a choice could be made that you didn't agree with, mostly because of a lack of information or something happens too quick, or you miss it because you're with your partner, the doula is there to kind of be a go-between between the birthing family and the medical professionals.
Gotcha.
So they'll know all of the protocols, the hospital protocols, and all the treatments and the risks and benefits, so that you have all of the information at your fingertips to know how to answer those questions.
Gotcha. Okay, that makes sense. Yeah, I can definitely see how you would want someone there that has been through it before, especially if it's first time for a dad and mom, somebody who's been through that before and knows how to navigate the system can definitely be a big boost, a big help.
Yeah. So when Ted was born, we wanted to go the natural route, but we ended up, going to the hospital, and once she was induced, any chances of a natural birth after that are kind of out the window, because everything is stronger. So my wife had to get an epidural, and we thought, oh no, I'm a failure, or that I can't take this pain. And so when she was getting her epidural, I'm hugging her from the front, and I feel powerless because there's nothing that I can do in that situation, except just hold her, but have this understanding that she didn't want this.
Yeah.
So that was a lot on me. So to have a doula in that time to say, to point out this part of the process is normal, or this part of the process is not normal. Like she had her left leg went numb, I think like an hour before birth, and then it didn't wear off until a couple hours after birth.
Wow.
For someone to be there to explain why that happened would take a lot of stress off the situation.
Mm-hmm, for sure. For sure. So you're also kind of moving on from simply the birth side of it. You're also, you've got a homestead, you're doing these events and things like that into kind of the freedom and homesteading picture as well. Mm-hmm. How did you go about, or how does that relate to the birth aspect of that? Like what brought those things together for you?
Yeah. So before we had Ted, we didn't really have an understanding of, future, we weren't good at looking at the future.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And preparing for the future, because we didn't have anybody to, worry about. But that comes after you have a child. So, I had been listening to the Survival Podcast since 2015. And so I was just kind of listening to it, taking in the knowledge, but not acting upon it. And so once we had Ted, then, I started to think like, oh, we have to start thinking out like seven generations. And I didn't know that there was actually a, that people actually thought that way. I was thinking about, grandchildren, great grandchildren, et cetera. And how, how we can set up our life to help them down the road. But you don't think that way until you have kids. I tend to observe through different families. And so then kind of fast forward to 2020, March came along, and we got sent home, and then we heard people were going to Costco and loading up on a bunch of stuff. And so we did the same, because we're kind of these preparedness minded individuals that weren't acting on the information that we knew. And so that was kind of our big push into pantry management. In 2020, we learned how to forage. A month after I got sent home from work, we went out and got meat rabbits. What else? Oh, and then we purchased a stand-up freezer. We put it in our living room, because we were in a very small house at the time. Mm. And bought our first like half cow. So gotcha. We got into all these preparedness activities, once the pandemic was starting, because we had our kids to think about.
Hmm.
And so it was kind of the culmination of those two things that led us into the homesteading and preparedness.
Right. So rather than simply looking out for yourselves and worrying about that, you're also thinking about, you had other people to care for to ensure their, continued existence and welfare.
That's right.
That makes sense. I like that. I like that a lot. So anything else you want to share before we wrap this up, or something that you think the audience should know about birth or homesteading, and kind of also if somebody is in your area, share how they can find out more about this event that you've got coming up.
Yeah. So just to wrap up with a few resources that we found very helpful. We read the Pathways to Family Wellness magazine. It's a magazine that's distributed through chiropractic offices. The other book that was very helpful was a book written by Ina Mae Gaskin. She's a pretty famous midwife. The title of the book escapes me right now, but I'll follow up with you on that. It opened my eyes up to understanding birth as a natural process, and that the body knows what to do. And then for our event, we'll be advertising the baby moon shortly here.
Okay.
It's October 1st. We had to push it out to the first week of October because locally here, the end of September is Oktoberfest. And we would have no participants.
No one would show up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody would rather go drink beer than go to a baby moon.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll catch them after that.
There you go.
So, yeah, coming up this fall, we'll have our first baby moon expo where you can learn about local practitioners, take part in, guided journaling. We might even have yoga the following day and, revel in the beauty of the homestead and ask any questions that you have about the process.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. We plan to have a few of them throughout the year, least three, one per season that you can camp at.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely send me the links to those books, and I guess if you have somewhere where somebody can reach out to you about the baby moon, then send me that link as well. And where can people find you if they want to connect with you or follow you on social or anywhere online?
Yeah. So our main website is www.steady-presence.com. So you can go there to contact us. Otherwise, we're also on Facebook. We're on Instagram. And we're also on Airbnb. So if you're ever in the Northeast Wisconsin area, come stay with us. We'd love to have you. We actually have a permaculture designer staying with us in August.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're really excited about that.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. You have to pick his brain. That'd be super cool for sure. Well, Dylan, this has been an interesting conversation, definitely something different than what we've had in the past on constructive liberty, but it's been very interesting and enlightening. And I'm sure there's people out there who are going through this process and will be interested to know more and maybe even reach out and connect with you. So I really appreciate you joining us today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Ken.